Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Research into the symbolic meaning of fruit, flowers, and insects used in art during the Renaissance and the Victorian Tussey-Mussey eras gave tonight's guest the inspiration for her paintings. Guelph artist Sylvia Woods recently opened the exhibit titled Floriography, which is a collection of these floral paintings, at the Kitchener Public Library Central location. Sylvia is on the phone with us from her Guelph home to talk about her work and her art. But before we get to the interview, let's listen to Happy Ever After from Kev Morse's In the Blood CD.
Some will say love is nothing but a crazy fantasy. We waste away every hour in the hope of what will be. Better days, the future's in our hands and we still hold the key. That's okay, an open book is what I want my life to be, life to be.
Conversation with Sylvia Woods. Good evening, Sylvia.
Good evening.
Now, it's been a while since we last interviewed you, so let's give our listeners a little bit of background. When did your whole interest in painting begin?
Oh, I've wanted to paint since I was quite young. It's always been the first thing I said I wanted to do as a little kid, and then just sort of grew up continuing that thought process. So.
Well, how did you, you know, evolve from doing what you were doing as a kid to the point where, you know, you're now doing this as a profession?
Right. Okay. So I grew up in a small town in Mount Forest, and so I think all young kids have quite a bit of art in their education initially. But when we got to my high school, because at the time it was a smaller high school, there wasn't all the opportunities, so we didn't have visual art as an option. So I ended up starting, I think, in grade 12, and then at the time in grade 13, I took correspondence courses to just see whether it was something that I was really, really wanting to pursue post-high school. And then following that, I did a year of introduction to all the arts at Centennial College in Toronto, and then was accepted into Ontario College of Art and Design, and that's where I ended up doing the majority of my studies, and from there have just worked in my own studio spaces, so that's the trajectory.
Yeah. Well, I know one of the things, too, is, and you mentioned this on your website, that you spend a lot of time over in various cities in Europe, in Florence and some of the others, cities, and they've had an influence on some of the stuff that you've done. How has that been an influence? What have you learned from visiting some of these cities?
Right. Well, so when I the first time I went over to Europe was my third year at Ontario College of Art, and that they have a studio over in Florence. So I went and spent the year there, and of course was surrounded by the Renaissance work and Renaissance painting. And at the time, I think it affected my palette. Looking at all of the work that year, I noticed that it's very rich colors and in the way that the Renaissance painters used. And I was working quite figuratively at the time as well. But I wouldn't say that the subject matter was necessarily heavily influenced by that experience. Then I was able to go back and live in Europe again, this time in London, when I was early in my marriage, when I had my first child, and spent a lot of time there too, just sort of studying and just exposed to so much art, and art of the time was quite a bit more interested in Impressionism at the time. And then in the last, I would say, 5 years, I've gone back to looking again at the Renaissance, and that's where a lot of my interest in symbolism that was used during that time in the painting has basically been the subject matter of my work for about the last 5 years. So, I think any time you travel in Europe, they're just so rich with some of the masterworks and museums that it can't help but influence what you're doing.
Well, that whole aspect of your palette and that, is that what sort of led to your choice of working with acrylics as opposed to oils?
Well, that was a practical choice initially. So when I was at art college, oils were introduced in our figure painting courses, and I really love working in oils. But as I started working in my own spaces, I didn't have the ventilation system that you really require, and particularly when I moved to London, a very small space that I was working in. So I just started dabbling a little bit in acrylic just to see, because they're not quite as intense for fumes. And what I found was that I was using the acrylics. I had developed my skills such that I didn't need the slow drying time. I didn't require it in the same way that I enjoyed from the use of oils. And I found that I was using my acrylics in an oil-like way, but it is just, it's a lot faster. It's a lot, so they're therefore easier to move paintings and move what I was doing from space to space without dragging along the wet canvases. So although I love oil, and I've thought about picking some up and kind of playing with it again, and it's been quite a number of years now since I've gone from oil into the acrylic. So
looking at, I just want to take a look at some of the things you've been doing with the new exhibit. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation with artist Sylvia Woods. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Isn't easy, you know.
Abstract Arts Connection. You've been listening to Smile from the In the Blood CD by Kev Morse. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with artist Sylvia Woods. So talking about, you mentioned that one of the things you did the last time you went back to Europe was re-exploring some of the symbolism that was being used in the Renaissance paintings and that. And all of that has sort of come about in some of the paintings you've got in Floriography. How did that whole exhibit itself come about, you know, getting into the library?
Well, my husband is a storyteller and does quite a bit of his own work, and then does some things also with the band, the Great Wooden Trio. But he was in the Latitude Storytelling Festival and has been for the last number of years, which was held outside for years. And just this past year, they brought it into the Kitchener Central Public Library. And while he was there, he noticed that the space, the facility is fantastic. And one of the things in their new facility that they had put in was this beautiful gallery space. So he mentioned it to me, and we just looked into the possibility of having a show, and they looked through their calendars, and this was the time that seemed appropriate. And I always love showing this particular show in February because the flowers, the bright colors, it uplifts the space, sort of uplifts the spirits, I think, as well. So that's how we got in. They've been fantastic, and I think it's a space that's really worth looking at, and mm-hmm. I'm happy to be there. So.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that the exhibit features paintings inspired by the Renaissance and the Victoria, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Tussey-Mussey symbols.
Right, yeah.
Now, that's not a term that I'm familiar with, and I'm not sure if some of our listeners are familiar with it. What is the Tussey-Mussey era?
Yeah, okay. So Victorian era is the time frame, and that's the pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood started doing their painting in that time, and it was a group of artists who were wanting to return back to the painting late Middle Ages, medieval, and early Renaissance, when there was sort of a moral teaching that went along with the painting. There was a very direct, colorful way of painting. And so they were reviving the style of painting from early Renaissance. And with that came some of the symbolic language of the natural elements in their work. And at the same time, I think because communication had been challenging in the Renaissance due to illiteracy, the etiquette of communication during the Victorian era was such that you were only supposed to speak about polite things, only supposed to talk. You didn't talk about your feelings and emotions, and you were always chaperoned. So they restored this ancient Turkish custom of passing flower bouquets back and forth that had a secret language hidden within them, and you would carry a floriography book or a language of flowers book that explained what each of the flowers meant. You would take their meaning, put together a bouquet, and then pass it off. Often couples would do this, sometimes family members back and forth, and then you would respond in kind by returning a message through flowers. And the Tussey-Musseys were the name, they sometimes called nosegays as well, but they were the small bundle of flowers that would pass back and forth to communicate.
Okay, so well, let's look at what some of the symbolism is, and again, I think, people are familiar with things like, you know, red roses mean love, yellow roses mean jealousy, things like that. But I know from some of the work that you've seen that there's deeper meaning there's that symbolism in a lot of flowers, and which is what Floriography is looking at. So, what are some of the flowers that you focused on in your paintings, and what are some of the symbolism behind it?
Well, the series, that there are two large pieces in this show that they're both 4 feet square, and they're right at the entrance to the show. And they are probably the most self-indulgent pieces I've done in a long time, because the way the Victorians used them were very personal, almost poetry that they would put together. And so what I used was Kate Greenaway, who was a children's illustrator at the time, put a book out called The Language of Flowers, which is one that you can look at. It's downloadable. So you can look at it online and just see some of the various meanings. So what I did was my oldest son left home in June of last year, and leading up to that, just the processing for me of what that was like as a mother, I looked through those symbols in her book and found some of the emotions that I was connecting with, and then through that put together initially three different paintings with four flowers in each that, once you put them all together, reads a bit like a poem. So various things like the tiger lily means I'm so very proud of you. The red carnation speaks about it. Well, the actual translation is "Alas for my poor heart," which is very old way of just talking about the deep emotions that you're feeling towards something or someone. So they're very detailed, and there's a lot of information. If you're interested in it, I encourage you to look at the Kate Greenaway Language of Flowers book, because it's just it's written like a dictionary. On the one hand, you have the flower and their meaning, and at the back end of the book, you have various emotions and then the flower attached to it, so you can look them up either way. But it's just, to me, I'm interested in communication, and I'm interested in visual symbolism as a means of communication that sometimes goes a little bit deeper or in a different direction than our verbal communication does, and it just adds a bit of richness and fullness to language to me. So that's why I've looked into that or started exploring some of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also did a series as well that used insects in the same way.
That's right, yeah. They were often put. And so the Dutch painters, too, around the same time, so going back, just following the Middle Ages, would often do still life paintings. And we see them as baskets of flowers, and often there'd be a butterfly landing on or a fly in the foreground with maybe a piece of rotting fruit or... All of these images, to us, just look like beautiful still lifes, but had each of those elements had meanings to people, so they would communicate a deeper truth than maybe just a beautiful bouquet of flowers or a butterfly landing on the plants. Often there would be wheat and a glass of wine, which, of course, we do see as the symbol of the Eucharist, but there were meanings to all of the different elements very often that people could read. So
now, I mean, looking at this, and I like I said, I've seen some of the work that you've done in the past, and that this seems to me that it would take an awful lot of research to dig out what these meanings are and things like that. How long did it take you to put the collection that's going on at the Kitchener Public Library? How long did it take you to put that together?
Well, what I have there is, if people have been to some of my shows in the past, there's some pieces that are coming forward from some of those shows, but they hold together because of the general symbolic language has been my main subject matter. So I've got pieces there. I've been working on symbolism again for about 5 years since I was brought on to Lakeside Church in Guelph as the artist in residence back in 2011, 2012. And that's when I started on this interest. And then I've gone through, did a series of fruit, I did a series of insects, I did a series of flowers, and then I've moved into a little bit of the Victorian language. So I would say that the show itself is works that hold together but all come from specific drives to specific areas within the symbolic language. But I go a little bit back and forth. So even in the middle of doing flowers, I might have an interest in returning, or I might see something I find interesting about a particular insect and what its meaning was. So I might go in and throw an insect painting in just for my own interest as I'm working away. And the research, there is information. It's buried a little bit, and sometimes in the same way that our language can be read contextually, a lot of these images were read, or these natural elements were also had a variety of meanings, all hanging into the same main theme, but they read these images contextually as well, which I find interesting. So, as you were saying, the rose can be love, can be jealousy, depending on the color, but they can also, depending on who's holding it, if you understand the imagery around the story. Like the Pre-Raphaelites spent a lot of time with old ancient myths, and I know that the painting by Millais of Ophelia, taken from Shakespeare's Hamlet, is covered with imagery, even as Shakespeare's play was, when Ophelia is described with the various flowers that she had surrounding her when she died and that she handed out just before dying. Each of them had meaning to the Shakespearean Elizabethan era as well, so that the people reading the play, it wasn't just that she was going mad and handing out flowers. As she handed them out, they had meaning to the people that were receiving them. They knew that what she was trying to communicate. So I don't know if I've gone off from what you originally asked, but yeah, the research element is certainly significant and fun for me. Mm-hmm. But then when people look at the paintings, you also just respond to them visually as a painting of a flower.
Yeah.
You know, I think what drives me to keep going is certainly the research into the meaning behind what these held for people in the past.
Right, and I think a lot of people simply do that. They look at the paintings as the paintings for what they are. Do you provide through the title cards and things like that? Do you provide a little bit of background on what some of those meanings are for people when they're looking at the paintings?
I've always double named. That's always been a challenge for me because I'm trying to encourage a return to visual literacy, and yet you do need to. We communicate in words, and so how to get the meaning out. So what I've done at this point, anyways, is the paintings are always named twice, so or have a double name. So it will be a name for the actual flower or fruit or insect, and then beside it the symbolic meaning that I'm drawing out of it for that particular piece. And then at the library, I've got a short little essay, just a little two-page, very simplistic essay that I've left with my biography on the table and when you first enter the space, that if people are interested, they can read a little bit more about what goes behind it, because it, mm-hmm. it does take a bit of explanation certainly you can just walk through, see the paintings, enjoy them, and that can be it. But if you're interested in knowing why they have these strange names, like mm-hmm. Flower Blossom, Marital Bliss, what does that have to do with each other? So I'm hoping that people are curious about that when they read the title and either come back to me or go, since I'm not there, go and have a look at the literature that's there and see why I would name it that.
Right. Well, what I want to do is I want to take one final break, and then we'll come back and finish up our conversation with artist Sylvia Woods. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Arts Connection, you've been listening to Let It Fly from Kev Morse in the Blood CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Sylvia Woods. Sylvia, where and when is the exhibit taking place for people if they're interested?
So the exhibit is at the Central Library Art Gallery in Kitchener, which is at the Kitchener Central Public Library. It's on 85 Queen Street West, and it's on the lower level. They have a 200-person theater down there as well, and some various conference rooms. And then if you go down in, you'll see the art gallery off mm-hmm. to the right. And it is running until February the 28th.
Okay. What are you hoping that people, when they see the exhibit, what are you hoping they walk away with?
Well, as I said, I think people go in and check out art for various reasons. So I think it depends on what people are interested in. I think this show always really hangs well in February or any of the flower pieces that I do. It just adds a bit of brightness in a time where we're really not seeing a lot of bright colors outside. So if it's just hopefully uplifting for people to just take a quick walk through, if people are interested in a little bit more, then I had some lovely conversations at the opening on Saturday with people who were just asking if I think it's important that we still have the visual symbols, or why does it matter now that we are able to communicate so effectively with our words. And I think, as I said before, I think any time you're able to bring a deeper richness into your communication, I think that's valuable and important. I think in understanding history, so hopefully now when people walk into an art gallery and see a Renaissance painting or a Pre-Raphaelite painting or a Dutch master still life, they can look at it and say, oh, I wonder why that fly is in the foreground, or why is the Christ child holding a pomegranate, or why does Ophelia have a flower necklace of violets? What, and as opposed to it just being decorative arts, that they realized that there was something being communicated, and maybe go home and research it a little bit mm-hmm. on their own, or maybe through what I've, the visual dictionary that I've been building with my work, they can look at it and say, oh, I wonder if this is because
right.
this is what this stood for, or the artist was trying to say a bit more. So just enriching people's experience of looking at old masterpieces and then, you know, hopefully enjoying what they see when they come to look at my work.
Right. Where can people find out more about you and your work?
Well, I have a website, which is rather long and convoluted, but it's a Wix website. So it's woodssylvia.wix.com/Sylvia Woods Artist. But if you just Google Sylvia Woods Artist in Guelph, you will find that website. And I can always be reached through that. People can communicate directly with me.
Great.
So, yeah, if you just Google my name in Guelph with the word artist, then there's all kinds of information that comes up, and you can have a look at some of the pieces. I did a new series for this show of smaller works that are just 10 inches square. There were six new pieces there, and I have Sylvia Woods Artist Facebook page, and you can have a look at that. It highlighted those six paintings and some of why I did them, and a little bit more personal information too over the last week. So
great. Sylvia, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection Day, and thank you to my guest Sylvia Woods. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter @SayLaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook, or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.